Welcome to the Lex Tech in 10 podcast, a resource for Lexington teachers to learn about innovative technology to use in your classroom, as well as tips and tricks to streamline your workload. I'm Lisa Rhodes, one of the elementary digital learning coaches.
I'm Rachel Kuberry, the district's assistive technology specialist.
And I'm Ann Kim Tenner, the high school digital learning coach.
Just a reminder, the opinions expressed are those of the individual hosts and guests. Make sure you check out the show notes for more information, resources, and other podcasts. Welcome to episode 13. I am Lisa Rhodes. We have a fabulous, uplifting episode for you. Rachel will interview Lillian Elmore, a Lexington High School senior, who will describe how technology has made a difference for her in school. Afterward, Anne will spotlight Chrome extensions, WebTime, ad blocker for YouTube, and BlockSite. And now for updates. As I record this portion, our district is on extended break. Please check email updates from the district and feel free to reach out to your building DLC for questions or concerns. Take care, everyone.
Welcome, everybody. I am here today with a student and the student interview. I'm so very excited. I'm here with Lillian Elmore.
Hi.
So Lillian is a senior here at LHS. Lillian and I have worked together. We were just talking for like 10 years.
That's so weird for me to think about.
It's very weird for me. It's weird for me to think about you not being here anymore because you're graduating.
That's so weird.
I was working on my not cry voice for this podcast. So hopefully you guys won't know if I shed a little tear over my relationship with Lillian ending in the most wonderful way because
tears are natural.
Like you've already been accepted to college,
so
making
weird
plans for leaving here.
University, yeah.
So because it's a podcast, like people can only hear us. So I want you to share a little bit about yourself because we're going to talk about technology and how technology has made a difference for you in school.
Yeah.
And I want people to understand who Lillian is and so that they understand a little bit about how technology helps you.
Well, my name is Lillian. I'm a spunky, bubbly,
yes,
sometimes overly talkative 17-year-old who happens to have spastic quadriplegia, which is a form of cerebral palsy, and a cortical visual impairment. I am obviously a quadriplegic, as I already said, and I have the full use of one limb. So that makes a lot of things harder, and technology has really helped with that. And my vision also makes like doing regular stuff harder, so technology just makes it a lot easier.
So Lillian and I got to meet early on in elementary school because when you think about what Lillian just said about a limited use of some parts of her body, that really impacted school and how you could manipulate things in school and like do things in quote unquote the traditional way. And I think, you know, we've seen that change a lot over our 10-year relationship and how like less and less stuff that you use now is like different and special.
Yeah.
Whereas when we came together 10 years ago, assistive technology was a lot about different and special.
Definitely.
So I was curious if you could share a little bit for people about like how you do work, how you demonstrate your knowledge. A lot of that is actually going to be the same as what everyone does nowadays, which is awesome.
Yeah.
And maybe some things that we tried in the past that we have since like put to bed and don't do anymore. The long road we've been on.
Oh gosh, there's a lot of things. So right now I currently use an iPad Pro, which I have on my lap with me, and that just has like all the apps that I need. So like Google Slides, when a teacher's like doing a presentation, I have a copy of the presentation that I can look at as she goes along, so I can see what's on the board. And if I'm taking notes, I use Google Docs, and I have a paraprofessional who helps me type down what I miss. And if I need to like handwrite something, I just use Notability and I handwrite that. And I used to use both a computer and an iPad for both like typing and writing. And like if I needed to read books, I'd have like an app on the iPad for reading. And so I'd have to like switch between the two pieces. And I just upgraded to just using one piece of technology, and it's made things so much more like streamlined and easier.
Yeah, so Lillian's got the jumbo iPad Pro that's like
as big
as a MacBook Air pretty much.
Yeah.
And it gives you what we were just talking about more recently is you can do a split screen on the iPad Pro so
amazing.
That, like she was saying, she reads digitally.
Yeah.
And then you can have a note-taking tool up on the side.
It's so awesome.
Whereas the old iPad was a very small screen.
Yeah.
So it was very hard to do that.
Yeah.
And that was part of the two devices. And so thinking about how things have grown and changed with you, a lot of what we're talking about with technology is like making changes, new technologies
yeah.
available and
oh,
thinking
yeah.
about streamlining things as you're not going to be here anymore and making sure you have the sort of best tool so that when you leave your house in the morning
yeah.
for your big day, you don't have to pack this giant bag of 14 different technology tools.
Which is great.
So are there tools that you remember from your past that were sort of replaced with new and different technology?
The word prediction, like,
oh yeah,
plug-in
great example.
Software. That was a mess.
But word prediction in general was something that you used as a different and special tool.
Yeah.
Because like I said, this was 10 years ago,
yeah.
8-9 years ago, we were looking at it for sure. And now how do you use word prediction?
Now it's just in the iPad.
Yeah. It's just built into
and
the
like,
keyboard. Same one that everybody who's listening
and,
uses.
It doesn't shut down when I have
doesn't
to
shut down.
The table.
You don't need to like open up a new
no.
tool and like open this
no.
and the other thing. Right.
Everybody can use word prediction.
Yeah. And what's your other major output tool? Speech to text.
Oh, speech to text.
Talking.
That.
Yeah. And that also used to be like a special and different thing.
But
and how do we do
not.
It now?
Now it's just in the iPad.
It's in the iPad. And when you had your computer
in
the iPad, what's the other way? For people who are listening who might not
Google
have used it
Voice.
Before. Google Voice. It's built into Google. So
Google
on the Chromebook.
Voice.
So you described switching from a computer and an iPad to now just using the big
yeah.
iPad Pro. What's the difference between the iPad Pro and a Chromebook? Because we're in a school that's all using Chromebooks.
I feel like accessibility-wise, the iPad Pro is bigger and it has like more features on it. And a Chromebook has a keyboard. So it's like a mini computer, but it's still a computer.
Yeah. And so things that the iPad does that the Chromebook doesn't do is have the built-in strong accessibility features.
Yeah.
The Chromebook has some, but the features that you use, like magnifying some things, contrasting some things, customizing the touch interface.
Yeah.
And then the big thing is the touch interface
yeah.
that the Chromebook has, but not to the like specificity
yeah.
and like excellence
yeah.
that the iPad does it better. And so for most people listening, the touch screen that you could get on a Chromebook and the combination, maybe you don't even need a touch screen using the cursor, works perfectly.
Yeah.
But for Lillian, that really excellent large screen that's touch activated on the iPad has
it's
made
just amazing.
Yeah. And so you can do writing,
yeah.
like you said, annotating on there. So it's very some. Do you get papers out and use them in class?
Depends on the assignment, like for reference if I need to, like
okay.
if there's like a picture or whatever.
Yep.
But not really. Or like if the teacher didn't send it to me, I take a picture of the paper and I put it on the iPad. But I don't use paper as much anymore, which is nice.
That's great. And then it lessens your load for
oh,
carrying
yeah.
around.
My aide doesn't have to stand right next to me and breathe down my neck and scribe for me if I don't want her to.
Awesome. So I think we talked quite a bit about how access, my next question for you was about how
yeah.
access has changed or technology has changed your access
yeah.
to materials and improved your independence in school. You've talked a lot about that.
Oh, yeah.
And you've mentioned your aide.
Yeah.
And so do you want to talk a little bit about that, particularly
okay.
here at high school, how like I have noticed you've tipped the balance between
yeah.
using technology independently and relying on a person for some things.
So I've been a paraprofessional pretty much my entire school life. And for those of you who don't know, a paraprofessional is basically somebody who works in the school and is assigned to one person or a group of people to kind of just help them and support them in
mm-hmm.
different class environments. And so back even like in like sophomore or junior year, the teachers weren't as good about putting things online and like I wasn't as good as like advocating for my needs. And so I'd have to use the paraprofessional for a lot of the time.
So it was
like
more specialized for you.
It was more specialized.
That, like we weren't as far ahead
yeah.
with the one-to-one with technology.
And so there was a lot of scribing stuff that I'd have to do. And so
and that your paraprofessional also like took pictures
yeah.
or scanned something
yeah.
so that you could have them digitally.
The paraprofessional would do a lot for me. And then this year, as we've kind of again streamlined technology, thinking about college, my paraprofessional is now, you know, in class on an as-needed basis. So if I don't need her, I can just be like, you can leave.
Yeah.
Bye. And I mostly just use technology if I need help.
So it's increased your independence. I think since you've been here at the high, it's been all along, technology has been increasing your independence.
Yeah.
And here at the high school in the last couple of years in particular.
Like big jump.
Big jump.
Yeah.
That's awesome. What's your favorite technology tool that like gives you the most bang for your buck?
Probably this iPad.
So Lillian's been an iPad lover. Lucky for her, she was part of the one-to-one iPad part at the middle schools. And so I like that because it gave you the nice chance to be part of everybody because you were using a laptop before that.
Yeah.
Cause that was kind of what we were using in Lexington. So then for a while you had both and now
that was a hassle and now I just have an iPad.
Right. And I think we already talked about the things that you love about the iPad and it suits you really nicely. And especially thinking about all the academic things it does for you, but then that, how am I getting the stuff I need in the places I need? The iPad offers that nice, like streamlined capability. And it's essentially the same as your phone, just bigger. So it matches your personal technology really nicely, which is a benefit because you don't have to learn all the different things. Cool. Thinking about, so we were talking a lot about you and what works for you.
Yeah.
I think you have a good, and that's part of why I asked you here is because I think you have a great perspective on disability and accommodations, and it's an area of interest for you. I know that like personally. So thinking outside of like Lillian and how school works for her, I would love to hear a little bit about like universal design for learning for our teachers who are listening. What's something that they could do thinking about sort of all students, the greatest impact that technology could have?
Putting things digitally, making things into a digital format, and making sure you know what all the kids in your class, whether they're on an IP or not, need and kind of balancing that. And one of my personal things, if a kid says they need something done all the time, do it all the time.
Yeah. And I think especially here in high school, you know, working with, we work so hard for kids to advocate for what they need. And so working with students to help, help them understand what they need and then really embracing the advocacy part and trying to, do that so that they can practice and use these things before they leave here. And then they're in a college or post-secondary environment that might be different and they might have to rely harder on their self-advocacy.
Yeah.
So you said that the big thing is making stuff digital, which we talked about already.
Yes.
But what, can you give some examples of like why the just the simple swap to digital? Because it's so easy now. Most of our work is created in Google. And so if you print it out, it's very easy just to give it to kids via Classroom or Share and Drive. What does that do for you?
It levels the playing field, so to speak. So if everybody gets it digital, I don't have to try to find all these workarounds trying to get the paper format on digital.
Yep.
And it like saves trees.
Saves trees.
Saves trees.
Some other things I heard you say earlier in this conversation, by having it digitally, you can see it how you want to see it. So you can make it bigger, you can make it smaller, you can change the color. The visual presentation is something that anybody can change when they have it digitally. If you have it on a worksheet, you just have it on the worksheet. Something else I heard you say was about demonstrating your knowledge, and you use tools like word prediction or speech to text or even just typing alone. And you also mentioned drawing and notability. So by providing it digitally, kids can do the work however they want to do the work.
What
and they can
feels
use
best
their, they can pick that accommodation and do what feels best for them. Yeah. And then the other thing we haven't really talked about is if the work is digital, I guess a little bit with the visual presentation around reading. But you can also maybe access some text-to-speech tools and hear that read aloud. For you in particular, we talk about that around like fatigue.
I get tired.
I think that that fatigue piece is different for you, but all of our high schoolers deal with fatigue. And all of our high schoolers are asked to read a whole lot. So it kind of by, like, don't think that the digital switch is just like, now you don't have papers as a teacher. It opens up so many opportunities for kids to use accommodations that they have at the ready now that we have the Chromebooks and Google, Read and Write for Google and built-in accessibility.
They'll probably be using it at their work too, like in the future.
That's
so
a great point.
It's good practice for like getting them ready for jobs.
I think that that's a great example. Like I don't get a lot of papers anymore. And when I do, it's my choice. I'm usually printing out the paper because I choose to read it or make marks on the paper. And so that like life readiness, I think, is a really nice additional benefit. And so, again, thinking a little bit broader than just Lillian and your I'd love to hear your two cents about if a student's listening to this and is like, oh, I would like to try different tools or use something else. Or like the iPad's a great example where most of our kids here at the high school still have that middle school experience of using iPads. If you want to use a different tool or try something else, what advice do you give to kids around the problem solving?
Know what you want to get out of it. Know what you want the device to do for you.
Yeah.
Because if you know and if it's not working, then you don't have to be stuck with a device and you're like, why is this working?
Yeah.
Know the purpose of the device, and then if something's just not going on and they're like, you just need help, ask for help. Go to the tech office, go to an HE, ask for help, and kind of let them give you their perspective on it too.
Yeah, and because you have, I think what Lillian's getting at is use your resources.
Yeah.
Because here in the high school, you have so many resources, so use them so that you're all set up and ready, like Lillian feels right now, for taking the next step and leaving here and having what you need and exploring the things that might work best for you when you're not at LHS.
That's,
so.
Oh God, I didn't even think about that.
This was great, Lillian. Do you have anything else you want people to hear?
No.
This is great. I'm really happy that we got to chat about
this
and we got to record it
because
I feel like our relationship and the work we've done around assistive technology for you, but also as the schools you've gone through, the teams we've worked with to really make some of this change that you're seeing now be so much more smooth than it was, you know, when we started. So it's nice to sort of celebrate how far we've come.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I love that. So cool. Thanks, Lillian.
Of course.
Hi, it's Anne here, and since we're looking at some online learning, I thought I'd share some Chrome tools and extensions that help us track our time online and help with distractions. First is WebTime Tracker. WebTime Tracker keeps track of the sites and types of sites that you visit. You can look at the settings and see how you're spending your time online. AdBlock for YouTube gets rid of ads on the side of YouTube videos. Block Site is an extension that allows you to make a temporary block list to limit your distractions while doing your work. You can go into the settings, add a list of your favorite browsing websites, turn it on, or set a schedule. When it's on and you try to go to one of your listed sites, you'll get a funny block page reminding you to get back to your task. To use any of these tools, sign into Chrome, go to the Chrome Web Store and search for them, or look under lexingtonma.org session for all the approved extensions.
Thank you for listening to the Lex Tech in 10 podcast. Don't forget to reach out to any one of us or your building digital learning coach for questions and assistance. That's what we're here for. Also, check out our website, gg.gg/LexTechIn10, where you can find show notes and other resources. Do you have an idea for a future podcast? Would you like to be featured on a future podcast? Email us at LexTechIn10@gmail.com. Thank you for listening.